Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:10 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 9th. And I thought we'd kick off today and perhaps concentrate on the commodities sector, because copper has done well again in here today. It is right in the proximity of the previous peak from earlier this year, and there's the clear possibility that it is going to be able to break this almost two-year downtrend. And copper is used in every country in the world. It is also one of the primary constituents in any kind of infrastructure development. So when it tends to do better, it's generally an indication that the global economy is going to do well, or that there's likely to be an increase in appetite for infrastructure development. And that's quite likely, particularly in the USA in 2021, because whoever wins the election will probably go for infrastructure development, but probably not before the election. China is also stepping up its infrastructure development, and realistically, considering the demand for commodities that China represents, it would be hard to really justify a bullish argument for some of the industrial resources without there actually being a recovery in demand from China. Well, when we then think about the continuous commodity index, it was in mildly negative territory in here today. It is right in the region of the trend mean, so there is the scope that we may see some consolidation here, but this has been a meaningful rebound. We're back above the lows put in early 2016. It's in the region of the lower side of the range that proceeded after that rebound in 2016. So now the question is, how much consolidation will there be? Will it hold the majority of its gains and subsequently then be able to push higher? So we're at a critical juncture here for some of these individual commodities. When we look at how the Chinese market has been performing, then there is a clear incentive for the administration in China to put the best foot forward for the world. They are under increasing scrutiny from the rest of the world because of the botched attempts to hide the origins and details of the spreading of the coronavirus. Then their subsequent ham-handed way of trying to trade the supply of protective equipment for positive coverage. So they have resorted to clearly stimulating the economy and also stimulating the stock market. And one of the things that has been clearly observable from the perspective of viewing China over the course of the last 15 years is that bull markets are state-sponsored. And this is a state-sponsored bull market, so it's quite likely that this breakout on the China A50 is going to be sustained. When we then zoom in and perhaps look at the A-share market, then it was in additional positive territory in here today and continuing to extend its own breakout. And this has been really quite an impressive move just over the last 2 weeks, coming back to test the peak from 2018. When we think about the banking sector, it has also been resurgent, although not quite as strong as the wider market over the last 3 days. Now it is right in the region of the upper side of the five-year range, and it's going to have to sustain the move above the 16,000 level in order to clearly demonstrate a return to demand dominance. But it does look increasingly likely that we are going to see additional strength come through for Chinese instruments, not least because there's continued enthusiasm for industrial resources. There is also the fact that the renminbi has been rather firm, and it continues to trade here around the 7 level versus the US dollar. Quite how much appetite there is in Beijing for a stronger currency remains to be seen. I do think we're at a rather important juncture right now for both the outlook for the dollar, for the renminbi, for a number of these commodities, that they're all in the region of previous areas of resistance, and we may see some consolidation. When we look at what's going on with gold, it pushed above $1,800 yesterday and held on to the gain in here today, but didn't improve upon it. It's quite likely we're going to see some consolidation. One thing that is, and I do think it should be comforting to gold investors, is that we have had a distinct absence of volatile movements in the gold price over the course of the last few months. The consolidation between April and June was really very orderly and confined to a range of only about $50, which is really quite small for a commodity trading at $1,800. Now, at a big round number like the 1800 level and the area of resistance from back in 2011 and 12, it's a natural area where we might anticipate some resistance and some consolidation. But the much bigger picture here is that at this range that is evolving for the dollar, and the dollar was a little stronger in here today, it does look like a distribution prior to additional weakness. And really, a sustained move back above the trend mean would be required to question that hypothesis. But there is the clear and I think very relevant consideration that the USA is providing about half, if not more, of all global stimulus. The interest rate differentials that the dollar enjoyed for the last few years have been eroded, and the supply of dollars has gone from contraction to massive expansion. So those are all significant factors that should weigh against the US dollar overall. When we look at some of the individual agricultural commodities, corn prices have rebounded over the course of the last week and are firming from around the $3 area. I think it is relevant to look at the long-term charts because the commonality that we see for a significant number of the agricultural commodities finding at least near-term support at the lower side of ranges that have generally taken place above the long-term base formations is a clear signal that we have seen, and I think it's, and it's usually, or it's the way that I've had, excuse me, the way I've classically thought of a secular bull market in commodities is in terms of the marginal cost of production rising. And if this continues, where we see prices holding the breakouts from the long-term basis, then we can conclude that there has been a step change in the marginal cost of production. Now, when we then think about, well, what is exactly going on here, then corn, soybeans, wheat, they are all still trading above their respective base formations. Wheat has got more of a rounding characteristic and does look like it will is probably the leader of the group. Cotton prices, on the other hand, are still within a very long-term range. There have been examples when it has been able to sustain the move above $100, but they haven't been sustained for very long. And subsequently, they have pulled right back into the range and then gone all the way back down to the lower side. And now it is steadying from the $50 level once more and testing the more than 2-year downtrend. When we look at the sugar price, it's another example of a chart that has been finding support above a previous range and is firming from the 10 level. In fact, one of the only commodities that does look like it is susceptible to additional weakness is Arabica coffee. It has been ranging above the dollar level for most of the last 15 years, and now it is below that level. There has been a clear downward bias to trading over the course of the last month or two, and it was in negative territory again in here today. If it breaks below the 95 cent level, then it's quite likely that we're going to see additional downside. So that is one exception, but then when we look at some of the better performers like Orange Juice, it has clearly broken its downtrend and is now trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner with one range above another. That does hold out the prospect of additional inflationary pressures rising at some point over the course of the next 8 to 9 months. It does take some time for commodity price inflation to move into the economic statistics, and we haven't really seen a lot of big moves coming through from the agricultural commodities just yet on aggregate, but they are in the main at the lower side of their respective ranges, and any kind of supply disruption is likely to contribute to additional upside. Now, one of the reasons why there has been a step change in the marginal cost of production was because of the oil price, and oil today was down $1. And it is now coming back from the upper side of this very tight range that's been forming for the last 6 weeks. As long as it is holding the upper side of and again, this is another example of a range that's forming above a previous range, but as long as it's holding the $37 level, then we can conclude that this is still a first step above the type 2 bottom. Unfortunately, if it falls below that, well, then we would be looking at the potential for the low to be retested. So there is the scope here for some rather significant potential for volatility in the energy sector. ExxonMobil has rolled over and was not able to hold the move above $50. It is coming back down towards the $40 level. And this does not look like an especially bullish chart here. Now, one of the things that allowed it to rally so impressively was because of its yield. They've never cut their dividend. And there is obviously the scope here that the yield will also begin to attract investors again. Now, when we look at Royal Dutch Shell, then it has not been able to push back above the 1500 level, and they have cut their dividend. So it didn't have the same kind of rally because the dividend has more than halved. Now the question is that the last of the dividend cuts, or are they going to be forced into additional dividend cuts? But the one thing that we can clearly see is that the energy sector does look like it is rolling over. And it does highlight that we have got two different kinds of charts. The S&P 500 is one that is above its trend mean. It was in negative territory in here today. It's still consolidating this move above the 3000 level, and it was off its lows in here today. So there is the potential that it will do better from here. The Nasdaq is obviously the more exaggerated of the bullish arguments. It was in additional positive territory today and continuing to push on to new all-time highs. And there is a clear now acceleration of this trend because it has sustained the upward break. And this is the first time since April that it has been able to sustain that upward break. We can also look at the better performers in here today, and they are almost universally among the FANG sectors. You've got Tesla, Nvidia, and Amazon among the best performers, and then you have a number of the Chinese companies as well. When we look at the ones that were not performing as well, the fact that the market was able to push on to new all-time highs with only half of, or little more than half, of the sectors in positive territory is a clear indication of the narrowing of breadth that we're getting in this market and the complete reliance on the continued outperformance of the mega cap shares. Well, When we then think about how are some of the less well-performing sectors doing, the Russell 2000 was in negative territory. Now, the size of the reactions so far have been relatively similar sized, and it is still trading in the region of the 200-day moving average, but it does need to hold the lower side of this range. The one thing that I'm still rather disquieted by is the fact that the 200-day moving average is now below the 1,000-day moving average. We have not seen that happen in the course of the last decade. It is generally something that we see at major tops. We saw that, for example, back in 2008, this range that formed below the peak saw that the 200-day moving average fell below the 1,000-day. And it's generally not a great sign. It tells us that prices are on average declining and that the clear trend of the 5-year moving average has, in fact, or that the continued consistency of gains that would be required for it to continue to trend higher has not been continued. Then when we look at the banking sector, well, it's obviously a sector that is going to be under pressure. But the regional banking sector has been trending downwards now for 2.5 years, and or I guess 2 years, and it is coming back down towards the lows. That's for the banks that are most acutely exposed to the domestic economy. Then the S&P 500 Banks Index peaked with the failed upside break at the end of last year, and now also looks like a distribution below this overhead top formation. And these are not positive-looking charts. The fact that we have smaller caps and regional banks doing badly, while you have this incredible acceleration in the performance of the technology sector, it doesn't look especially healthy. Then, when we look at the European markets, they are also back in the region of the trend mean. The 200-day is again below the 1,000-day moving average, and we had some weakness coming through in here today. Now, the question is, are we going to get the stimulus necessary that will then change the outlook? And you can see, for example, with the FTSE 100, there have been multiple occasions in the course of the last decade when the 200-day moving average was below the 1,000-day moving average, and it has subsequently been able to jump and push back above it, and we've seen significant recoveries. But it's going to require additional stimulus. Now, the UK is certainly one of those markets where the government is willing to spend, but it's also going to be very much determined by the global outlook. The ASX 200 in Australia is also right in the region of its trend mean. Even when we go and then look at some of the emerging markets like India, then it is right in the region of its trend mean. But this is a high-growth market, and it is still on a recovery trajectory. The banking sector in India has been a lead indicator for the wider market for really quite a significant period of time, and it has now been able to push back above the 25,000 level, and that is, I think, a rather positive development because it is bolstering the view that we're seeing some base formation completion, at least a reversion back towards the mean, and that the most negative of scenarios is being avoided. So I think the outlook overall is that the market is generally wondering where is liquidity going to come from. There was a great deal of demand for 30-year treasury yields in here today, so certainly there is the clear, I think, incentive for investors to capture whatever yields are available. The IPO index also is continuing to do rather well, and that is also supportive of the view that investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to new companies because they have that growth, and that if you can't capture yield, you have to capture growth in order to boost returns overall. So therefore, we're still at this rather interesting juncture because we have a number of indices that are in the region of their respective trend means. We have a number of commodities that are at previous areas of support. And there is a compression of yields going on. There's continued strength in gold. And there is the clear, also deteriorating trend of additional cases of the coronavirus in a number of high population US states. So there is the specter of restrictions on trade being tightened again in some states. That will then have a knock-on effect on the willingness of politicians to permission additional stimulative measures. And considering the fact that we're now on in the 9th of July, they've only got about 2 weeks if they're going to get it done. And therefore, I think we are at the point where it's quite likely we're going to see news of additional stimulative measures, which will probably be the catalyst that a number of markets need in order to push further higher. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.